preparation, Brother Fred, a long time ago. And my preparations that I made, Jesus made me a promise. He said, if you'll love and serve me, then you can come where I am. And Brother John, I want to go. I want to go. I started on a journey that I didn't realize what was going to happen through the years as we went along. I remember back when the day that I joined the church, and oh, how happy I was that God had smiled my way. And I told one of the young brothers last night, he said all I wanted to do was just get me a songbook and get over in the corner, and I was satisfied. Brother Junior, I tried that. I got me a songbook, and I got on the back seat, and I said, you brothers, just leave me alone now. I'm happy right where I am. But God wasn't satisfied with that. He had a work for me to do. Listen, today we can read all down through the Bible. When Jesus was here, he would tell his disciples, I've got something I want you to do. And Brother Junior, when he would tell them that, they would ask him, what is it, Master? What would you have us to do? And there's so many things that's on my mind this morning, but just for a few minutes now, pray. I sat there a while ago, and I began to think back. When me and my wife first got married, we didn't have much. Brother John, we lived in the northern part of Indiana, and one of our favorite things was to do was we'd go uptown in the city there in the evening, and we'd walk up and down the street. Brother Junior, we'd window shop a whole lot. We didn't have the money to buy it, but we could look at it, and it looked good. Listen, and I thought, sitting there a while ago, are you here today window shopping? Is there something you're looking for that you don't have? Well, I'll tell you what, I know a man that's got the very thing that you need this morning, and it won't cost you one dime. Listen today. But Jesus always, he would tell his disciples, I've got something for you to do. And when it was almost time for him to be taken up and put on the old cross, he knew his time was at hand. And he told his disciples, I've got something I want you to do. Down in a little place down there, you go and you'll find a little donkey tied up. And I want you to go down there. There's a colt with it, which a man has never sat upon. I want you to go and get it and bring it here. Listen. And when they heard what he said, they said, Master, what if when we get there, some man say, what are you doing? Brother John, if some man were to come to your house and begin to tie up one of your animals and to walk off with it, you'd prevent him. Listen, but Jesus said, if any man say to you, what are you doing? He said, just tell them that the Master has need, and they'll let it go. Listen, and they went down, and they found it to be so, just as he had said. And they loosed that little colt, and they brought it back. And when they got back there, and the Bible says they took their garments and they laid it up on that ledge. And when they did, and they took Jesus up, Brother John, and set him right upon that. And listen, and I can just see that little animal. It never moved. It didn't jump. It didn't try to run away. Why? God was in control. Listen, he's still in control today. You might think you got everything fixed just right, but if troubles never come to your house, you just wait. It's on its way. Listen. And Jesus, he began to make his way into Jerusalem, and on the way they pulled off their coats and laid them down on the ground. Some pulled tree limbs down, laid them down on the ground, and then they begin to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. Listen to them old scribes, them Pharisees, Master, make them hush. Brother John, what did he say? If these were to hold their peace, the rocks would begin to cry out, are you a rock today? Cry out, what should you be shouting? Praises unto our King, for he's worthy to be praised. Why? He done for us what no man could do. What did he do? He took his finger, wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, came right down into this old stony heart, and made it a heart of flesh, done an operation. There's no scar there. Listen today, but most of all, he gave us a new white robe to wear. He's got a crown laid up for us. Not only that, but a mansion also.
Waiting
on us there. I don't know how long I can stand to do this, but praise the Lord today. I know what it's like to want to get a breath of air and couldn't get none. When the lungs started filling up with fluid, I couldn't breathe, Brother John. And they come running in the room. They said, we got to do something right now. We got to work on him right now. They didn't wait to take me down to an operating room. Right there in the room, they did what needed to be done. They hooked me up to the machine. Right off the bat, Brother Ross pulled 18 pounds of fluid off of me in one day. I was just so filled up. You know, I thought that doctor come in on Sunday and he looked at my wife and he said, he wouldn't have made it. There's no way he could have made it. He said, do you feel better? I said, yeah, thank God I can breathe. He said, you ought to be happy right now. I said, I am happy.
Yeah.
And he went out of the room. He's a good Christian man. He went out of the room. He goes around singing. They said, have you ever heard him sing Amazing Grace? I said, no, but I'd love to. They said, oh, you ought to listen at him. Said he'll get happy at work sometimes. And we just stand there and listen to what's going on. Him in a room by himself, he'll be singing up a storm. I said, thank God for people like that who are not ashamed. Listen, I'm not ashamed of him today. Why? Because, listen, without him, I'd already be gone. My dad told my wife one time, he said, I'm thankful that you got a hold of him and straightened him out. He wouldn't have been here. He was a wild boy, but it took more than my wife to straighten me out. She done her very best, but I'd tell her one thing, Brother John, and when I'd get out of her sight, I'd be doing something else. But when that man Jesus knocked on my heart's door, man, I just smelled it right down. Oh, Lord, what would you have me to do? Roger, your life, it's in terrible shape, and you need help. And I begin to cry out, but I didn't get it the first time, nor the second, but I never quit. I kept on. Brother Junior, they had something that I wanted, and I didn't have it, but I found a way to get it. Listen, now let me move on just a little bit, and I'll get out of the way. Let's jump down to the day when Jesus, that morning when they begin to take him up Calvary's hill. Listen, I can almost see him that day. The Bible says that they had beat him to the point that he was almost unrecognizable. He didn't look like a man. They beat him so bad, but they still laid that cross upon him. Now listen, here's where I'm going. There is a prepared people that God's going to send for, and unless you're prepared, you're not going to get a go. And that morning, Brother Junior, they had to prepare that cross before he could carry it. Somebody had to put it together. Listen, somebody went up on the hill and dug the hole that they stood it up in. Things had to be prepared. Listen, and as he carried that crawl up that lonely hill there, the weight pushed him down, but it wasn't the weight of the cross. It was the weight of our sins that he carried, that was bearing down, and they called on someone else, come and carry the cross up the hill. That man just happened to be there. No, there was a need for him to be there. Listen today, and when they got him up there, they laid him down on that old cross. Brother John, some man had to make them nails that held him there. But if you believe them nails held him to that cross, you're a bad fool. He could have come down off of that cross, but he done it for us. Listen, and I think about his mother, his natural mother. She run up the hill and saw him hanging there. And the Bible says that she began to cry. And Jesus looked down and saw his mother there. He had compassion on his mother. And he looked at the disciple and he said, son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. And he took her home and took care of her. She didn't have to watch him die, but he died anyway. I'm going to hush. Just me and Junior are going to come. Listen, he died on that old cross. And the Bible says, I got in trouble for preaching this one time. The Bible says that one of his secret disciples come and begged his body. The Bible said he come to Jesus by night. And he's the one that come and begged the body of Jesus. And old Pilate, yeah, go ahead and take him. He's dead. He said, I want to take him and bury him. And Brother Fred, they did. They took him and wrapped him up, put him in the tomb, and they rolled that stone up against that door. But you know what? He'd already told them, he said, you tear this temple down. Man, they looked at that big old temple they'd spent 40 years to build. They said, you mean to tell me that if we tear this down, you can put her back up in 3 days? He said, you tear this temple down, in 3 days I'll raise her again. Well, they rolled that stone up in front of him there. That all was prepared. That was all foretold how things. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He said, for this cause came I into the world. Listen, he knew what was going to happen to him. But you know, when he was in the garden praying, he had come to the point that he loved his brethren so much. And Brother Junior, he didn't want to leave them after that time. He'd been with them for 3.5 years. But what did he tell God? Not my will be done, but your will. Listen, when they put him in the tomb, it wasn't his will, but it was God's will. It was all a plan made, that everything had to come together. And listen, but he had said on that third and appointed morning, I'll raise her up again. Listen, when them little sisters got down there that morning, Brother Junior, they went running down there. Why? Because they was going to embalm our Lord. I think they had spices and ointment. They had everything to take care of the Lord when they got down there. But when they got down there, I believe on the way they began to think, now who's going to roll that stone away? He's in that tomb. We can't get in there. But they went anyway. There was a purpose behind what they were doing. They went anyway. Listen, I didn't have to come to the Little Jewel Church this morning, but I had a desire to be here. Why? Because every time I've been here, I've just had the best time ever was in the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, and when they got down there, they saw the stone was already moved. Listen, it already gone, and they wondered. When they looked inside, he wasn't there. They began to wonder where have they taken our Lord, and they looked out and they saw a man in the garden out there, and they supposed him to be the gardener, and they began to say, where have you taken our Lord that we might go and find him? What did he do, Brother Fred?
Mary.
He looked there and he said, Mary. I'll tell you what. When he called her name, she knew who it was. Oh. Never, the Bible says, never a man spake to me the way that this man spake to me. His voice is like many waters. It's like the thunder. You'll know who it is. And listen at when. When he spoke to her, my Lord and my God, Mary, don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended back to my Father, but you go tell the brethren that I'm a coming to them. Listen, he told us, Brother Fred, when he went away, he said, if I go away, I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Man, I'm looking for that day, Brother Ross. Sometimes I wish that I could just go on, but nonetheless, I'll stay as long as he wants me to. But listen, they went and told the brethren, and they said, why, he's risen. I seen him out there. And two of them got up and they took off. We're going to go see for ourselves. Well, let me tell you today, I'm going to go see for myself. And if you see him, you'll have to go and see him for yourself. Listen, and when they run down there, one stopped on the outside, but the other one went right on in. And what happened? Listen, and when they run down there, one stopped on the outside, but the other one went right on in. And what happened then? There was two men sitting on that stone. Why seek you the living in the tombs of the dead? He is not here. And they went back, gathered themselves together in a little house. And when they had gathered in, there was a man amongst them there. And the Bible says that when he looked up and blessed the bread, their eyes were open. They knew who he was. Brother Fred, I ain't never laid eyes on him, but I believe when I see him, I'm going to know who he is.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit. Listen, 34 years I've been traveling a journey, and the end of my road is near. There's a song that Brother Virgil Combs used to say, the end of that journey is near. I can almost see heaven from here. I can almost see heaven. I ain't never seen heaven. Don't know what it's like. But I've read about it. And when I read the good stories, and I can sit in my chair, and I begin to meditate about what God has done, what He's got prepared for His children, tears begin to run down my face. Not tears of sorrow, tears of joy. We can't live here always. We weren't made to be here always. I get to thinking about back in the old Bible, how they lived 800 and 900 years. Brother Fred, I couldn't imagine living in this body 800 years. Lord, Lord, Lord. And they were still up and about doing things for God. Listen today. The Bible says that a man's lifespan, 70, that's 70 years. Brother Doc told me a while ago he's 90 some years old.
92.
You think about that. He's lived way past that. It's been a great blessing. I may never get to be 57. I'm only 56. That amazes a lot of people that I'm that young, but that's okay. I may never get to 57, and if I don't weep for me. I may lay in the tomb 1,000 years. We don't know how long it's going to be. But in that morning, when that trumpet begins to sound, that old sky rolls right back. You know, they say gravity is what holds us here to this earth, but gravity ain't going to hold me no more. It's going to turn loose of me. And that man Jesus that was born in a little manger, born of a virgin, do you believe that? I do. Raised up and preached his own everlasting gospel while he was here. Laid him on an old cross, stood him up between the heavens and the earth. On that third morning got up, Brother Fred. And after 40 days ascended right back into heaven. Do you believe that he's coming after you? Man, I do. And I'm ready. I hear Brother Fred say this morning, he said, I got my bags packed. I've got everything ready. The Bible says don't even return back to your house for nothing. You don't need to go back home. Listen, we're ready to go. Everything's prepared. I won't need none of this earthly stuff over there. I'm going to a world that'll have everything I'll ever need in my life. And we'll get a praise and sing. And the best part about it all, I'm going to sing a song that even the angels can't sing. You know why they can't sing it? They don't need to. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I love you today, and I'm glad that I made my trip this morning. I aggravated my wife a little bit before I left this morning. I can't see. I have to wait until it gets daylight before I can see how to drive. Well, at 6:15 this morning, it wasn't daylight. And I went up and got my truck, and she had to leave for work, and I pulled down beside her Jeep, and I rolled my window down, and I said, what do you think about me getting out and driving this time of the morning? She said, I don't like it one bit. I don't like it one bit. But right on down the hill I went, and right on down the road I came. But you know, if I hadn't started, I wouldn't have got there. I had a desire to be here, and I appreciate the Little Jewel Church inviting me to come and be part. And I love you, and I want you to go to heaven. But do you really want to go? If you do, it's time. It's time. Put in your all. Put everything that you got into it. And if you'll do that, I'll tell you what, you'll not be disappointed one little bit. You'll be satisfied.